Amen. When you ascend a pulpit like this, when it has a saying like this, sir, we wish to see Jesus under a man's ministry who is a faithful brother under a church that loves the Word of God so much. Your name is by the Word, Baptist Church. It is a tremendous honor. I want you to know it's a tremendous honor to be invited to preach at such a place. And this church, maybe more than you actually realize, has had quite an impact in my life, my wife's life, our marriage, the ministry. And I think maybe if it's appropriate tomorrow night, I'll share some of that a little bit, how this church has impacted us. Well, if you had one letter to write to someone before your death, what would you say? I'm 37. I need to make something like, if you're my age or a little younger, a letter, it's like a text message. It's like a Facebook post. It's more grammatically correct, less acronyms. Okay, if you had one letter to write, what would you say? I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. This is the book of 2 Timothy, the last letter probably of the Apostle Paul to his disciple Timothy. It's interesting what he doesn't mention. He doesn't mention sports. He doesn't care about the Dallas Cowboys. He doesn't mention Nero. He does make a passing comment about the coming winter and for Timothy to bring his cloak. But the focal point of the letter is Christ. Chapter 1, life is in Christ. That's in 1:1. 2:1, grace is in Christ. 1:13, faith and love are in Christ. 2:10, salvation is in Christ. This is the last letter of the Apostle Paul, and it is full of Christ. And that the ministry of the gospel must continue. In the face of pain, in the face of suffering, in the face of persecution, in the face of betrayal, the gospel must advance. The kingdom of God marches on. And Paul is passing the baton, if you will. And all of this is going to advance on the road of suffering. And so Paul says to Timothy, share in suffering. He says it twice in the text that we're going to read, chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 2, verse 3. And we'll see tonight that suffering is a partnership. So as you're finding those verses, we'll read them in tandem. I'll read this quote from J. Sidlow Baxter. He says, this parting letter should often be read, especially by ministers and other Christian workers. Never was its message more needed than today. Agreed. Let's read our text. Chapter 2, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And then we'll go to chapter 2, verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we ask tonight that you would bless the preaching of your word. You know the man that stands in this pulpit is in much need of grace. I need the Spirit of God to be here. Holy Spirit, be here in the power of the preaching. May the preaching be for the glory of Christ. Holy Spirit, you love to shine the spotlight on Christ. So do it tonight. Not on this man, not on this church. Shine it on Christ. And we'll be satisfied. Let us see him. We pray that Christians who are weak tonight and just meandering through life would hear the text. They would take up the cross, follow Christ and enjoy sharing and suffering with the church. And we pray for unbelievers in this room that they would not be so foolish and wicked as to reject such a glorious gospel. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when we have a conference like this, when we read text of Scripture like this. The question comes to my mind and my heart, really, do we even really understand Christianity in America? Budgets, buildings, bottoms in the seats, grand productions, flamboyant speakers, parties, law and gospel replaced with laissez-faire and godlessness. Easter productions. What are we going to do during Easter to celebrate the resurrection of Christ? I know we'll pay lots of money. We'll get a helicopter to fly over and we'll throw Easter eggs out of it. Walking into some of these churches today, or maybe I should say so-called churches, is worse than Christian walking into Vanity Fair. Debauchery, idolatry, triviality, absurdity. Is there anything in America anymore that looks like our text? Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Look, tonight, I don't care if you know Alan Nelson. Forget my name. It's a dumb name. It's got a dumb nickname. And I'm from Arkansas. I don't think my wife is my cousin, but even if she were, perchance. I don't care about any of that. Forget who I am. You've got to see tonight that we need to understand Christianity as it is given to us in this book. Now, it's not the same exact word. It's very similar from last night, the share in suffering. Very similar to last night's text, Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. I'll just read that and point it out to you. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with or to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So it's the same. It's a synonym, really, for the text or for the word that's in our text in verse 8 and chapter 2, verse 3. Share in suffering. So listen to me about the Bible. There is a thread, if you will, a thread from Abel to Abraham to Moses to David, Isaiah. I'm skipping people, of course, all the way to Christ and to the apostles and to the present day. I'm saying that there is a thread of solidarity in that the people of God are strangers and exiles and sufferers in the present age. In the church age, today, we will always be in an age of suffering. Now, let me encourage you, this doesn't mean we have to have a martyr's complex. We don't have to go looking for suffering. Man, I need to dig up some suffering today. We don't have to provoke people to bring about suffering. By God's grace, there are seasons in our life. There are days. There are weeks, there are months, sometimes there are even years where there is little or lesser suffering. But the point is that those committed to Christ will share in suffering. Why do you think you're different? It's true in the Old Testament saints. They suffered. It's true in the New Testament saints. They suffered. It's true of our Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered. It's true of the men and women in church history, of John Bunyan and Adoniram Judson and John Patton and Lady Jane Grey. They suffered. Well, who are we? We're in that long line of suffering saints. And so I want us to know tonight from the text that suffering is a partnership. And I want to give you 4 points. First, I want us to see tonight that there is, number one, a prerequisite. Maybe I should have said prerequisites because I have 2 things to consider here, but really they go together. So the first prerequisite to this kind of suffering is the priority of the gospel. The priority of the gospel. So verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Okay, what is that? The gospel. Nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Verse 3 of chapter 2. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, my plan tomorrow night is to give a more thorough explanation of the gospel. But look how Paul lays it out. Back in chapter 1, verse 9, he says, Jesus, he says, who saved us? But he's obviously talking about Jesus. That Jesus saved us and called us or God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And then if you're back in chapter 2, down to verse 8 of chapter 2, he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. So the prerequisite to this kind of suffering is allegiance to the gospel. That is, the gospel we preach is the gospel of a suffering Savior. The Son of God. When we say gospel, this is what we mean. The Son of God, equal with the Father, humbled Himself by taking on human flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He fulfilled, the Bible says, all righteousness. Every jot and tittle of the law. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Everything that Adam failed to do, that Israel failed to do, that you have failed to do, that I have failed to do, Jesus did. He obeyed. And then He suffered for sinners, dying under God's righteous wrath. The law demands blood for transgressions, and Jesus gave it. The obedient one was punished as if he were the disobedient. Not for his own sins, but for yours, for mine. Receiving our sins upon His account and dying as our substitute, as our representative. And then we come to this coming Lord's Day. He rose again from the grave on the third day to grant freedom and guilt from the guilt and power and condemnation from sin to undeserving rebels like us. Peace with God for those who will repent of their sins and trust this gospel by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And listen to me now. Those who will forsake the allurements of the world and join God's suffering people. They'll say, come on, go with us. Suffer with us. His exiles and sojourners. His church. This is the gospel. This is the prerequisite to suffering. Embracing the gospel. Now listen. There are all types of suffering in the world that this gospel is not a prerequisite for. You understand? You understand that we live in a fallen world. And people suffer all the time. Under their own stupidity. Under their own sin. Under the sins of others. Under the curse. Flat tire. Cancer. Been stolen from. Been cheated. This is suffering. But this suffering in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean you've suffered for the sake of the gospel. So listen to me. So some of these messages we've heard, amen, praise God. But don't pat yourself on the back and say, man, I've had a hard life. I must be right with God. It doesn't necessarily mean anything that you've had a tough life, other than that we're not in Genesis 2 anymore, Toto. Hey, we're in a fallen world. And so our other pastor at our church, Providence Baptist Church, Pastor Jacob, preached, Paul suffered because the message he preached exposed the darkness of sinners. This is the kind of suffering that we're talking about specifically in this text. This is the kind of suffering, if you will, that Timothy was to partner in. Not really talking about, hey, your political candidate didn't get in office, sharing that. Right? No. Listen, again, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So the first prerequisite I'm saying is the priority of the gospel. If you are not in Christ, I'll say it to you this way. If you are not in Christ, this text is not for you. You understand? I'm not trying to come here and encourage you about the hard things that you're going through if you're not in Christ. I'm not here saying, man, you had a flat tire today. Yeah, but God's for you. No, He's not. His wrath abides over you. So you need to understand tonight that this text is for those who have repented of their sins and put their faith in the finished work of Christ. And you should do that even now. I call you to a life of suffering even now for the gospel, knowing that glory awaits those who trust Jesus. Calvin said it this way, it is impossible for us to have the gospel without affliction. That's a lot different than God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. but it's the truth. Come to Christ, trust His gospel, share in suffering, or suffer in hell. I understand that's blunt, but that's the reality. Secondly, I'll just mention this quickly, there's a prerequisite of the power of God. So if you want to suffer in this way, there's a prerequisite of the priority of the gospel and then the power of God. So the end of verse 8 says that we're to share in suffering for the gospel. Timothy is to share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Shall we, church, partner in this kind of suffering? Not without God's aid. Not without the power of God. We shall not endure this suffering unless God is with us. But God says His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And so, it is a prerequisite to this type of suffering that we would have the very grace that we need from God. He is so rich in supplying the grace. You see some of the martyrs of old and you think, I don't know if I could ever do that. But if you were ever facing that situation, God is ready to supply His people with the power they need to share in suffering. Let us plead with God for His power to obey this text. Suffering reminds us of our dependence on this great and powerful God. That leads us to our second main point, the prerequisite, firstly. Secondly, now let's consider the precept. So, verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but, and then here's the text, share in suffering. And then in chapter 2, verse 3, the same word, share in suffering. It's one Greek word. It is the same word in both of the texts. And it's made up of three words, evil, suffer, with, these three words combined together. So the translation is, it's good in the ESV. It's good. Share in, partner in, participate in difficulty, trial, suffering. Now, in both texts, the word is in the imperative mood. Now, I know that you are sit under pastors who preach this way. So what it is it's a command. It is a precept. So listen tonight, church. Timothy is commanded by Paul, and we know that since Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Timothy is commanded by God to share in suffering. It is not optional. And I would extend this application to the church today. It is not optional. In fact, I will let you answer this question. So think through this very carefully. And I want you to think of a word. The word for when God commands us to do something and we don't do it. What's that word? Yeah. Sin. Disobedience. So there is a different brand, or perhaps I should say it this way. There are different brands of Christianity out there. If you desire that, there are different options, right? So stand at the roads, look, consider. You can take the ancient path. You can take the way of suffering. You can have solidarity with the saints of old. You can have solidarity with Christ. Or if you choose, you can go a different way and you can take on Christianity light. You can take on the generic brand, if you will, of Christianity, the Pop-Tart version. A Pop-Tart will satisfy your hunger, but I think biologically it's like one ingredient away from eating plastic. Eat it. Go for it. Is that the Christianity you want? By all means, ride that spiritual high, reap all the world can give you, and pacify your conscience. But know this, there is only one road to the celestial city. All others are the way of destruction. And I'm telling you tonight, this is the way. Share in suffering, chapter 2, verse 3, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now back in verse 1, Paul says, back in chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. Paul's in prison, right? I'll talk about this later, but let me just kind of mention this. There's a feeling there is like, well, maybe it's Paul's fault that he's in prison, right? Maybe he wasn't winsome enough. Maybe this version of Christianity is too tough. And so doctrinal embarrassment comes from a Christianity that is man-centered. You need this reminder. I know you do because I need it. Let man be the center and you'll begin to be ashamed of biblical marriage. You'll begin to be ashamed of what Genesis 1 teaches. Right? You don't even get past Genesis 1 and 2. The age of the earth and marriage. You're already like, the rest of the Bible, you don't have much hope for, right? You're already ashamed of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. And that obviously travels down to the biblical sexual ethic, the ultimately the gospel, the suffering Savior, the one who died because of God's holy hatred against sin and rose again. Listen, we're naturally averse to anything that might cause us to endure rejection or ridicule or pain. And so we fear man and not God. But what I'm telling us tonight, church, is I'm calling us tonight to partner in suffering by remembering this precept. You don't have an option. It's what God says to do. Why are you choosing this way? Your friends, your family, your coworkers. Wouldn't it be easier to go? It's like, you know, not all people who profess to be Christ have it as hard as you. Why don't you just try a different flavor of Christianity? I can't. God's commanded this. And this is the way I must go. This is the precept. But Paul is saying, Timothy, I'm going to die soon. Christ is worthy. Do not give up. Do not give in. You must continue. Share in suffering. May the church endure. And so the Lord tells us this tonight. Share in suffering. And while our suffering may wax and wane at times, all of us are called to share in this reality. Okay, but how long? Third point. So the prerequisite, the precept, thirdly, the perseverance. Share in suffering. See that in verse 8 of chapter 1, verse 3 of chapter 2. Now these verses pair with chapter 4, verse 5, if you want to flip there. I like Brother Randall. And the reason is because I kind of think of him like the Apostle Paul, you know, like you call Randall and you're like, man, this is tough, you know, what shall I do? Share in suffering, right? Like, buck up and do it. Oh, man, I was kind of hoping you'd give me a way out, right? I was kind of hoping you just coddle me, like encourage me, like just tell me how good I am. No, this is what the Bible says. This is what you must do. And so Paul is this theme over and over and over again to Timothy. Share in suffering, share in suffering. And if you didn't get it by chapter 4, he says endure suffering. So let me put it to you this way. This might be surprising. Many people, I think young men, I think men in general maybe kind of have this mentality. And maybe some of you ladies too. I will die for Christ. But here's the surprising part, maybe. It's not necessarily Paul's exhortation to Timothy to die. Now, certainly if death is called upon, you must go. But the exhortation here is, in a very real sense, not a letter of invitation to die, but to live. And to understand living for Christ is enduring suffering. John 15, 19. If you were of the world loved you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Like you have this death complex and you expect Paul to just say to Timothy, you know what? Figure it out, get it over quickly, and just die, right? But instead, he's like, endure suffering. Like, read the Bible, read the New Testament, read Acts 9:16, read 2 Corinthians 11. Paul suffered imprisonment and abandonment and betrayal and ridicule and slander and poverty and beatings, all for the sake of the gospel. And now he's saying to Timothy, I've been through that, partner in that, share in that. And listen, I'm going to say something hard that this letter bears out. Persevering in suffering, It's easy to get in here, to rally together, say, yes, it's us against them. But perseverance in suffering sometimes comes at the hands of the us. Those who profess to follow Jesus. Listen to Paul. Like if you're a pastor, you especially feel this, but all Christians, you should feel this. Like, let's just look at a couple places. It will stay in the letter. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And then in chapter 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. Everyone around Paul, he has to endure the suffering. He's going to be in chains for the sake of the gospel. And he's just like, hey, can you just come stand by me? Can you just come make a defense? Can you just say, I know this man and he's not crazy? And everybody's like, new phone, who dis, right? Who? I don't know you, Paul. Like, what? They're gone. And he endures it alone. This is Paul, and they leave him, perhaps murmuring things like this. Well, he deserved it, you know. He was just a bit too radical, you know. Hey, he needs to learn a little nuance. He needs to learn a little winsomeness. The Gospel Coalition put out an article about the Apostle Paul, right? I'm making this up because the internet didn't exist. Al Gore wasn't around back then. But the reality is, people putting out junk on the internet, like, these people are suffering, but they're suffering because they deserve it. And if they put us in the gulags, I'm afraid it'll be professing Christians who lock the doors. Hey, you guys need to calm down. Is what you're doing effective? Is Christ honored? Then it's effective. Some people just forgot about Paul. Yeah, you remember that guy Paul? You remember Paul? Whatever happened to him? I heard he's in prison. Oh man, I hate that for him. Okay, if you say you wouldn't do that, just listen to this. A few years ago, there's a man by the name of James Coates, right? I think it was 5 weeks he spent in jail. Why? Because he opened his church. Man, hate that for him. I really wish we'd just get back to normal. I wish the baseball game would just hurt. I wish I could watch football. When is sports going to get back to normal? When can I just go out to eat with my family? James Coates, he's suffering in jail. Man, I hate that for him. You understand? Forgetting about those suffering. This is not the partnership that Paul is calling us to in our text. Share in suffering. Calvin puts it this way, when we see our brethren afflicted for the cause of God, let us join with them and assist them in their affliction. Persevering in suffering means we don't abandon our brothers and sisters who are suffering for the gospel. And we for sure don't make their suffering harder by leaping on, adding condemnation, right, to them. There already is an accuser in the Bible. You don't want to be him. Share in suffering. Don't run away from those who are suffering for the gospel. Run to them. Suffering is a partnership. So we've considered the prerequisite, the precept, the perseverance. Finally, tonight, let us consider the purpose. The purpose. Now, Paul's a sufferer. As a good soldier, Timothy's to suffer as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And verse 8, he's to share in suffering for the gospel. I need you to hear this very clearly, and we can discuss more in the Q&A. But I think that we often think about the suffering here because of. So you take, like, so just look at the text. Share in suffering for the gospel. So what you hear is share in suffering for the gospel. You hear it. Maybe you don't put it this way in writing, but you hear it in your mind. Share in suffering because of the gospel. And now this is true. Like we do suffer because of the gospel. But I want to introduce something that I think is more in line with the text. I don't think because of the gospel is able to bear the full weight of the text. So it's kind of natural for us to think, I suffer because of the gospel. And you know what that does is Satan's so crafty and our flesh is so wicked, but that puts the focus on us. All right. So look at me. I'm suffering because of the gospel. It individualizes, if you will, the text before us. But I think there's another way for us to consider the text. When Paul says that we're to suffer for the gospel, what he means is for the sake of the gospel. That is, listen, church, we partner in suffering with a common goal. We partner in suffering with a common purpose. You want to hear what that is? The advance of the gospel. The church's triumph. I'm not suffering just to suffer. I'm not suffering just because God doesn't care about me, just because God just is some sort of strange being in the eye that just enjoys the suffering of his people. No. I am suffering as part of the bigger picture, as part of the church. I'm suffering for Christ to receive the full reward of his suffering, that all the elect will come in, that all people who are going to profess faith will come in, and that the church will win in the face of her enemies. This is the analogy of chapter 2, verse 3, right? Share in suffering as what? A good soldier of Christ Jesus. What is the idea of a soldier? It's fighting under Christ, our captain. Why the idea of soldier? We are the church militant. We are gaining territory. We are enduring. Do not hear this as saying that we merge this in some sort of post-millennialism nonsense where we're going to usher in a golden age. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus displays his power this way. He binds the strong man and he builds his church in his face. In the face of failing governments, in the face of wicked regimes, the church is triumphing. We endure, in the words of John Gill, loss of name and goods, scourging, imprisonment, and death itself for the sake of Christ and the gospel, so that the kingdom advances. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. What is the purpose of suffering? The grand goal of partnering in suffering is pleasing Christ. It's the glory of God, advancing the gospel in, by, with, and for the church. And I think I've convinced you of this interpretation, but in case I haven't, look down at verse 10 of chapter 2. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So hear me tonight, church. There is solidarity in suffering with the saints of old. There is solidarity in suffering with the saints right now. But there is also a future solidarity, if you will, a future hope of suffering. My suffering today for the sake of the gospel is for the glory of the Lamb. It is for the good of the church. It is for the advancement of the kingdom. And it is ultimately for Jesus to bring in all of the elect. My suffering today results in Jesus bringing in his elect more tomorrow for the glory of Christ. This takes the focus off of us. And it puts it on Christ. It puts it on his church. Suffering is a partnership. Now, I've heard this several times over the last few years. There's something big that happened in 2020. You probably remember it, COVID. And since those days, we've been living in very strange times as a nation. I would call them very dark times, very wicked times, very difficult times. And And you and I, we didn't choose these times. I didn't go before the Lord before my birth and say, you know what, that's when I want to be born. I didn't choose the day in which I live. But you have to be reminded that our sovereign God, back in chapter 1, verse 9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Before the ages began, God sovereignly decreed that you would live in these times. I didn't choose these times, you didn't choose these times, but these are the times that God has decreed that we live, and so we live in these times, and we suffer for the sake of the advancement of the gospel. So let me give you some application. Number one, you should encourage bold preaching. Pastors sometimes really are on the front line of enduring suffering for preaching boldly the truth, for preaching Christ, for preaching His gospel. And I'm telling you tonight, whether you go to this church or you're from some other church, you have a responsibility to not be silent. You have a responsibility to encourage your pastor. You have a responsibility to partner in the suffering of your pastor. Because every person that encourages boldness, for every one person that encourages boldness in their pastor, there are probably 100, maybe 1,000, if you count all the people on the internet, who are discouraging him. Encourage him. Encourage him publicly. Back up his message with your life. Right? Stand for what he is preaching, even when he's not looking at you. That's one way to encourage him. Partner with him in suffering. Resolve to yourself. It's hard now. He's weird. I'm talking about Randall. He is kind of weird. It's hard now. There are people who don't like him. But I'm telling you, resolve now that I'm going to endure suffering with the pastor, because when judgment comes, I want to be standing wherever he's standing. I don't want to be standing where all those people are standing. I want to be standing with the man of God. Encourage the pastor. And understand that it's through bold preaching that God advances the church. Endure suffering for the sake of the gospel. Secondly, I'll just mention, support and encourage godly evangelists who love and serve the church. There are some evangelists I've ran into over the years that you might say have a martyr's complex. They don't love the church. They're just out there on their own. I'm not talking about them, but there's men in this room who love and serve the church. And you should encourage them. Now, for some of you, that means you should go with them. For some of you, that means you should help them with their needs. There's a lot. You know, it costs money to do evangelism. I was with Cody the other day. He has to pay for parking. You know, it's like he has to pay gas. And I'm just saying these are things you should think about with those who are out there preaching the gospel. I'm not saying every person in this church should be out there at UNT preaching the gospel with Cody. Of course, that's foolish. We all have different gifts. But everyone in this church should be encouraging evangelism like that. You should be praying for men like that. You should, some of you, helping them with their needs. So I'm saying partner with them. Don't make them suffer alone. Suffer with them. Suffering is a partnership. Thirdly, support and encourage missions. And let me define that. I'm talking about investment in and planting local churches. Some of you need to hear this. Maybe even some of you, there's young men here. Where are the John Pattons? I'm gone. I'm going to the New Hebrides, and if there's cannibals there, they'll eat you. Christ is worthy. Where are those men? And then where are those who will partner with them? Listen, I'll be gentle, but listen. Some of us are too busy holding ice cream cones that we can't hold the rope. While those men go. Not every person in here can be a John Patton. I understand that. But is there maybe not one among us? And is not the church called to suffer with those men? Suffering is a partnership for the advancing of the kingdom. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of the reproach of the cross. Do not be ashamed of your Bible, of your Savior, of your King, of your God. Now, last application, and we will, as I say to my church, we're going to land the plane. So the wheels are coming up. The captain's coming over. The intercom, he said, look, we're landing. The wheels are going down, right? You don't want to land with the wheels coming up. So here's the final application. Give your life to the church. Yeah, but it's hard, right? Every Sunday morning, getting up. Every Sunday night back at church. Every Wednesday night. Enduring the difficulty of church. Like, look, you got problems in your marriage sometimes because you're being sanctified. You're undergoing sanctification. And so the person very closest to you in this life, you fight and argue with sometimes. Now, look at the church. Right? So like that can be difficult. I understand. And then there's church discipline and doctrinal fidelity. You have to hold the line. And then it's just hard living in a world that hates you so much. That loves darkness, and they're all for any kind of debauchery being displayed. But if you try to go to a park and you try to say, Jesus Christ died for sinners, repent and believe the gospel, they want to shut you up, they want to silence you, they want to cast you out. It's hard to be an outsider. It's hard to be the butt of jokes. People saying false things about you, about the body of Christ. We've invested in this young man month after month after month after month after month. He hears the word Calvinism. He's with my boys. My boys say, yeah, well, we're Calvinists. He goes and he talks to someone else and they say, Calvinism is a cult. He says, your church is a cult. I'm never coming back. That's hard. On top of that is the serious, real risk of true and real suffering at the hands of wicked men. It's hard. I'm not denying that. There's a lot of time and energy and money and sanity, if you will, given to the church. And there's real tribulation and there's real persecution. But I'm telling you tonight, church, don't quit. Give your life to the church. There's a reason for it. The Lamb who was slain is going to receive the full reward of His suffering. The elect will come in. The church will be built in all her splendor. But listen, she's not going to be built without some more boards being cut, some more bricks being carried, some more work while it is still day. There is a purpose in suffering, I'm telling you tonight, for the sake of the gospel. All the prodigals will come home. And Christ will have the prize for which He died, an inheritance of nations. So what you have to do tonight is look around to one another and consider suffering in partnership lightens the load. It doesn't do away with it. If it did, you wouldn't have to have these exhortations. But it makes it a bit easier in the sense that we don't have to do it alone. Resolve today to obey our text. And above all, you remember this. They abandoned Paul, but Christ didn't. He never abandons His churches, even in the midst, especially in the midst of trial and tribulation. He stands by her. He strengthens her that the gospel will continue. So you got one final letter to write. Right before you die, what are you going to say? This is what Paul says. The ministry of the gospel must continue in the face of pain, in the face of persecution, in the face of betrayal. Keep running. Don't quit. Don't give up on one another. Don't abandon one another. Suffering is a partnership and Christ is worthy. Now, it's dangerous to say this word, but I'm going to say it finally. Is this your Christianity? Is this the Christ that you follow? Do you really know this way of life? I'm not talking about your medical bills. I'm not talking about your automotive repair needs. I'm not talking about you wish your bank account. Like, I'm talking about, do you understand the suffering that we have talked about from the text tonight? A suffering that is for the advancement of and the glory of Christ. Do you know this kind of Christianity? Because this is the only Christianity of the Bible. Do you tonight know Christ? Is it time for you tonight to confess your hypocrisy? To confess your sin? Do you understand that 2,000 years ago, this very week, the God-man was laid, the one that spoke the universe into existence, the one who made the wood that formed the cross, the one who made the very men who took him and laid him on the cross, and they put not a nail, you hear about nails, a huge metal spike, they put it in his hand. At any time, he could have spoken the words hypothetically. Any time, he wouldn't even have to spoke the words. Boom, it's over. He doesn't have to go through it, at least hypothetically speaking. But he lays there, he's willing, he's obedient. They drive the nails through his hands, and then one through both feet. They put the crown of thorns on his head, and they stick him up on a Roman cross. But that's not even the worst of it, because there on the Roman cross, the wrath of God bears forth on the Son, and he dies for sinners. He dies for rebels like me and rebels like you. And he rises again from the dead. And he calls you tonight, come and suffer for the glory that awaits. I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to sign a card. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Repent and call upon Christ right now. Today is the day of salvation. To the sexually immoral, the person looking at pornography while no one else knows, to the person struggling with homosexuality, to those who are stealing from their employers, those who are living a fake life, I'm saying to you tonight, turn away from your sins, all your sins, and look to Christ. And He has never, not one time ever, cast out a soul who's put their faith in Him. Be saved. And join us as we partner in suffering. Father, thank You for Your Word. We pray tonight that it would go forth effectually and it would strengthen us as only You can. And please may people just remember Christ. Amen.